Hello and welcome everyone to this week's episode of Double DM Podcast, where today we are answering the question, what is the most important part about playing TTRPGs? And the answer might surprise you, it might not. We're not a clickbait BuzzFeed quiz or something.
Aren't we?
No, we're not. We're something else.
That's for sure.
Okay, no. We're talking about the question, what is the most important part of TTRPGs? Just so, yeah, it was a fun discussion. It just popped into our heads. But first, as every week, we're here to discuss what happened in that week. So, Niels, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Back from Prague, had a lovely weekend. I had a lovely weekend in Prague. And yeah, now I am back and back at work, sadly, but you got to do what you got to do, right?
Yeah, I understand. Back at work. I am not back at work. I am still on vacation for 2 days left. And then I have a normal week next week. So yeah.
Enjoy those 2 days.
Yeah, I'm trying my best.
But yeah, since I wasn't in Berlin on my usual TTRPG day, I didn't have any TTRPGs in the last week, but I'm going to have one session on this Friday, tomorrow, at the point of recording.
Really?
It's our usual Sunday session, but it just got moved to Friday because late March, we have a lot of birthdays and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, so it was difficult to find a Sunday that works for us because parents wanted to go to dinner and blah, and all of that stuff got layered. We're on vacation or had something else to do and all of that stuff. So we decided to move it to Friday, at least this time, this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for that, I have been crafting a creature or a person, an NPC, an enemy, ally / thingamagic neutral kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's one of my better ones yet from the stat block alone. I think it is really fun. It is basically a life and death witch hag situation that is playing in the giving and taking life trope during combat and combining that with the four seasons of the world and working that into her lair that changes throughout the seasons.
Ooh, interesting, interesting. Okay.
And depending on what season is currently present in her lair, she has different options for her lair actions.
Mm-hmm.
And the option to advance the season or the seasonal effects about one season further.
Mm.
Yeah, it was a lot of work. And it's about 2 A4 pages long, with all the legendary actions, lair actions, and all of that. But yeah, I think it was an interesting thing. I hope it will be a lot of fun for my players to interact with. It's just there so I know what this hack can do, what it is able to do, and not necessarily just to fight, but I needed to have all of those special effects that she could imbue into objects, persons, or onto souls or whatever.
Yeah.
So my characters can actually interact with that.
Yeah, understandable. I mean, obviously, she would have also imbued certain objects already, right? Or certain people. So knowing what she can do is kind of important in setting her up.
Yeah, and she isn't the only creature there. There is a lot of different smaller ones that play into the other abilities that she has, because that's the creatures that she created or reanimated as her own minions situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, and yeah, where in the area where they all are currently, where all of this is taking place, there are flying some artifacts around that are imbued by this hag, which got stolen from her. That's the reason why she's angry. So, yeah, but not by the players, but by the townfolk.
Not yet by the players.
Not yet by the players, exactly. But yeah, I am excited to see where all of this is going. Can't wait to play that session.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. I'm looking forward to next week when you can tell me all about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have it for whenever they get to it.
Yeah.
Let's say it like that.
If they ever get to it.
If they ever get to it, yeah. But yeah, that's basically it for my TTRPG week.
Okay.
Did you have anything special, exciting, wonderful, sad, bullshit? Was there anything?
Yes. I had a session on Tuesday. I had a session on Tuesday. I had a lot of sessions, by the way, last week. One on Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, and then on Tuesday. So a lot to talk about. First of all, for last week's recording, where you talked to me about that one shot you did in the Beast World. We did play the same one shot as you guys did. I don't know. I didn't get to play much of it.
Okay, why is that?
Because in the first chamber of the dungeon with the goblins, another player basically decided to kill my character.
Cool.
With a cloud of daggers pointed at my location. So it wasn't even like friendly fire or a mishap. It was just blatant. Okay, you're standing there. I'm casting cloud of daggers on you. And I went, cool, roll your damage. Oh yeah, I'm dead. Bye.
Wow. Okay.
I was able to be revived after that, but having with the rules we played with, I only had like 5 HP left and no spell slots. And, you know, it's always hard when the debate comes up, this is what my character would do.
Yeah.
And you would use the argument for something like this, because in this instance, I would go, okay, my character would just straight up go. I would leave. Fuck you. I'm not going with this person anymore. And you're like, how do I solve this now? Obviously, right, it is a table discussion, because you could have prevented that. I was in the situation where I would have my character go, I'm not playing with you anymore, or I'm not adventuring with you anymore. Could have been prevented in the instance where the other player even casts a cloud of daggers, obviously. And I'm going to say it, a good DM would have just said, no, you're not casting cloud of daggers on that location. Or do you really, really want to kill another player character?
Yeah, I think that's stuff that should have been discussed at least in session zero.
If there would have been a session zero.
But if there is talk about it in session zero beforehand and say, yeah, friendly fire is good, cool and all and blah, 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 even intentional, and everyone agrees to that, that's up to you. It wouldn't be my cup of tea.
Yeah, I mean the thing is, I'm always for a little bit of PvP or friendly fire among characters when it is relevant to the plot and story. Like you have a plot around a paladin that is currently being corrupted by their god or something, and then you as the GM give the paladin basically a note that says the god is now asking them to kill the others or harm the others at least, right? And your paladin player then starts attacking the others. That is, in my opinion, something that if discussed in session zero could be very fucking cool.
Hell yeah.
But going, oh no, this unarmed, sleeping goblin on the floor. I need to kill it. So I'm casting Cloud of Daggers on the point where the goblin is and killing both the cleric and the bard character that are standing next to this goblin. That has nothing to do with this is good storytelling, this is good gameplay, this is good fun at the table. That is outright, in my opinion, going, I don't give a fuck about any other player. I want to do this, so I'm doing it.
Yeah, and it's not like accidental thing, because Cloud of Daggers, if I remember correctly, isn't that huge of an AoE?
No, it's 10 feet.
Yeah, exactly. But I think we all have been caught at some point in a big fireball because the room was too small. But that's the thing. Fireball is a huge AoE and not that controllable in certain areas. Then you could make the argument of, yeah, why cast that spell in the first place? But blah, blah, blah. We've all been caught in some sort of AoE before.
I mean, the thing is, we don't need to necessarily argue for the thing that friendly fire can happen. It can. The rules say it can. If there are AoE spells, you need to, and the AoE explicitly says this can also hit friendly creatures, or it hits all creatures in that radius, it is clearly intended to be, this could also cause friendly fire damage. And that is okay. And I'm not having a problem with friendly fire being existent at my tables. I love it, especially when it's done right. The problem is when it is really unnecessary. It's not like you had the opportunity to kill the goblin without Cloud of Daggers. You had the opportunity to do so, but you decided that that would be the best course of action, Cloud of Daggers, knowing that there are two player characters in that area, knowing that they've already been taking damage before. Funny thing, also caused by you. But that is, again, like, the thing is, my character had 21 HP in that one shot. I took 23 damage caused by other player characters. And now the thing is, the first time I took damage from basically two characters that did a project together, basically, they built a makeshift wrecking ball that then they just threw into the dungeon and let roll through the dungeon, basically. Like a death trap. And in that instance, I went, that's totally fine. That's fun. You have no control over this death wall that you're currently sending down the halls, right? I find that funny.
Mm.
And it kind of is realistic. These two rats, they were actual rat characters. They built a makeshift death trap that they then rolled down this dungeon. It is the completely comedical take on that. But then deciding in a combat where an enemy is already out of combat, this goblin was sleeping, we have contained him, he wasn't a threat, casting Cloud of Daggers on him, knowing that you will hit the two people that you've damaged before that don't have much HP left, That is just outright not okay.
Yeah,
because then you're actively going, I don't care about your character or about you at the table because my fun is more important than yours, and there's no excuse for that. Now, right, if it is discussed in good faith, blah 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 blah, yeah, it can work, and I'm not here to say that and every table needs to be the same as my tables. But I, in this instance, as a GM, would have said, no, you're not casting Cloud of Daggers. And if the player says yes, I'm saying, okay, explain to me why. Because there is no way I'm letting you do that without a good explanation. And an explanation that the table agrees to.
Yeah, and that's not just, yeah, that's what my character would do.
Yeah, that's what my character would do doesn't count. If you explain, okay, my character believes that this, right, if in an instance, one of your friends is playing the paladin that is currently being corrupted, blah, blah, blah. And your role goes, this paladin is now a danger to us. I need to kill him because he's gonna be a danger to us. I am willing to discuss that as a table if that as a story point is good enough for you to just kill him or to attack him at least. If the paladin player agrees 100% sure, I'm not gonna veto that necessarily, but we're here to have fun. And You are actively, like, the thing is, if you actively kill someone at the table, you are actively excluding them from the fun. And that is only, you only do that if you are an evil person at the table. You don't do that if you want to have fun with your friends. You're not having fun with your friends if you kill your friend's character, period. But we did play the same one shot as you guys did. Killed some goblins, killed some bad dogs, and then the dungeon was finished. And I had to explain to people again how challenge rating works, so that was fun, because most people that play D&D don't know how challenge rating works.
Okay.
Right? The thing is that D&D assumes you're doing several combats a day.
Yep.
So a combat that is just barely a deadly encounter only counts as a deadly encounter if you've had more than one combat a day.
Or have combats after that. Because
a deadly combat doesn't mean that combat itself is going to kill player characters. It means that the day the player characters are playing at will be dangerous and deadly.
Yeah. If you have multiple deadly encounters a day, that gets dicey.
I think it is two deadly encounters which is supposed to be enough to kill.
Yeah. I think that there is this thing of XP budget per day, and that's basically what you have to keep in mind when looking at if this combat is actually deadly or not. If you have just one combat, the one combat has to exceed the daily XP threshold to be a deadly encounter itself.
Yeah.
Not if it says just by challenge rating, it's a deadly encounter.
And I had to explain that to people because our GM basically went, because he upscaled the combats for a group of five players, and no, for a group of six players, I'm sorry. And yeah, he then went, okay, those are two deadly encounters. That's too much. And I'm like, no.
That's exactly right.
Don't worry. We're not going to die. And trust me, we're not going to die. And yeah, it wasn't even close. If the amount of friendly fire damage done by our group wouldn't have been 50 damage, we wouldn't have even been close to dying.
No.
So it really isn't like D&D's. Yeah, I mean, it's just another testament to how weird D&D sometimes works. And
It does. It kind of does work, but you have to think about so many different things.
The thing is, it works, but only if you know how it works.
Exactly.
Because if you think one deadly encounter a day is enough, which I thought for a long time, by the way, that is not going to be enough. You're not gonna kill the player characters, which is also not supposed to be your goal as GM, by the way. But if you want a deadly encounter, if you want to have the players in mortal peril, you need to go to that XP threshold or have two or three of these deadly encounters a day. Because one time, by the way, my players fought three dragons in a single day.
That's deadly. That's gonna put them at risk.
They were all at like 1 to 5 HP left. Two of them downed with death saves on the line at the end of the third encounter. That is where I wanted them. You cannot get that in a single encounter if you go just to the amount of, okay, yeah, now it is supposedly a deadly encounter.
Yeah, and just to add on to your point that you just made with the needing to go above the daily XP budget thing, the encounter that I have planned with the witch situation has 12 smaller creatures and the big bad, so to say. Oh, wait. Okay, so just to add on to that, what you just said with needing to go above the daily XP threshold, in the encounter that I planned with the hag situation, I have 16 smaller entities fighting alongside her and the big bad witch, so to say. And for 7 players of level 7, the daily XP budget is around 35,000 XP. And with that combat alone, they get to 39,300 adjusted XP. So I hope that's going to be intense.
Yeah.
Because I just want the action economy to be on my side for once. For once, we're in a group of 7 players.
Yeah.
So I just put 17 enemies against them. To be fair, 16 of those are challenge rating 1.5 or a half.
Yeah.
There because the witch has a feature that for every creature that dies within a certain radius of her, she heals herself.
Ooh, that's nasty, Niels.
So if the barbarian, like I know she will, focuses the witch and the others take care of the small ones.
I think with that, we've talked enough about TTRPGs and
especially
what we
did.
Especially for a recap. So I think with that, let's jump right into our episode on what is the most important part about these TTRPGs. Hey listener, how are you enjoying the show so far? Tell us about it in whatever way you see fit. Go to our social media pages and add us or DM us about your favorite episode of the show. We would love to hear from you on what impact our show might have had on your home games. Or you could review us on your podcast app of choice and leave us a nice message with a 5-star review. And if you want to go above and beyond, bring a friend into the fold. Tell them about our show and refer us to them so they can get a piece of the pie as well. Thank you for listening to Double DM and joining us on this incredible journey. Niels, I've recently had a question and I want you to answer me that question.
Okay.
It is a big question. Mm-hmm. This is Double DM. Everything depends. Everything depends on you, dear listener. You are our only hope. What is the most important part about TTRPGs?
I would say creating an amazing story.
Okay.
Okay. Creating intense, memorable moments
mm-hmm.
that I cherish, that I want to remember and want to retell.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
To put it like that. Basically, to put it like that and not go with the it depends kind of shit, mm-hmm. That's the main reason why I play TTRPGs.
Okay, but it's the reason why you play. Is it also the most important? Like, I get what you mean. It is the reason why you play. Obviously, it's important. If it wouldn't be, it wouldn't be the reason for why you play.
Mm-hmm.
But is it most important to playing? I'm not saying that your answer isn't correct, because it is correct. In some it depends context, obviously. Obviously. But just for the sake of this, what's the most important thing about TTRPGs to achieve that goal for you, to have those moments? Because I feel like that's what you said is a goal, which is a crucial part of playing. You having a goal for what to play for, basically. But at the same time, what makes sure that you get to that goal?
Okay, then let's go with being open to bounce ideas off each other and interact or act according to or in reaction to what has happened right before.
Okay, 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 okay. Once again, what do you need for that? Just go with it. Just go with it.
Obviously, players.
Yeah.
Characters and a willingness to improvise.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Now I could ask you, why do you need players, or how do you get players? Right. We could ask 1,000 questions about that. But I want to ask something else. What do you think we haven't done it. So I don't have statistics or whatever. But what do you think would be the online wider spread TTRPG community's consensus on what is the most important part in playing TTRPGs? What is the most important building block about playing? Because there are 1,000 answers, and I think if I were to ask 1,000 people, I could get 1,000 different answers, 100%. But I think that there are a few things that a lot of people would agree on are very important and would say the same thing, obviously. So what is the most often probably used answer in this hypothetical experiment?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the most important part for most people in playing TTRPGs? Is this entirely impossible to really gauge what a widespread audience of people would say? But I think that there is one thing that a lot of people would say.
Okay, because I'm trying to kind of generalize the thing that I, or the things that I want to say,
mm-hmm.
or to keep it broad so to mm-hmm. cover mm-hmm. more without, with still keeping our first couple of questions in mind mm-hmm. to go levels deeper, but without going levels deeper, if you know what I mean.
I mean, you don't have to go levels deeper. I would actually go levels up, broaden it, right? Because people would definitely have different ways of wording it, 100%.
Mm. I think one big part would be having agency, or having control is a big part and a huge important part. The classic having fun is a massively important thing, but not what we're looking for here for, I think.
Oh, no, it's exactly what we're looking for, no? It is exactly what we're looking for, isn't it? Because when you ask people, what is the point of playing TTRPGs?
Mm-hmm.
Every answer boils down to having fun.
Yeah.
For good reason. This is a hobby for 99% of the people. Mm-hmm. The 1% being either celebrities playing the game or designers that are playing the game to figure out how to write their next game or playtesting their next game. Mm-hmm. For that is that it is part work as well. But even for them, that work is fun most of the time, I would guess.
Yeah.
And with that, I think having fun is the baseline.
Okay.
Because
okay,
a lot
okay.
of people would say mm-hmm. having yeah. fun. It is without debate. Mm-hmm. Fun in a hobby like TTRPGs are for basically everyone is the most important part. If TTRPGs aren't fun, it isn't worth to be played.
Mm.
And the thing is now, everyone obviously enjoys their fun a little differently.
Yeah.
That is where, I know that is where your thoughts went, right? I can't say just having fun because everyone defines that differently.
Exactly.
Some people are probably power gamers that sit around a table just wanting to loot dungeons and kill monsters.
Hmm.
That is their part of fun. Other people want to sit around the table and play drinking games for 3 hours as their characters while they also as players get more progressively drunk.
Hmm.
That is also fun. Other people want to create shows like Actual Plays, Titans Call, Nestoria, Pen and Pals, whatever, Critical Role, Dimension 20. That is fun. Enjoying those shows is fun for other people. They aren't even playing, but they're still having fun with TTRPGs. So the most important part about TTRPGs is having fun.
Okay, yeah.
Now one of the big important things is in discussions about TTRPGs, about design, about flaws of the medium, about using the medium to do something. Centering fun, which is a very subjective thing to people. I'm not saying that it shuts down conversation because it doesn't necessarily if you still want to engage in conversation. But I have seen it being used as a way to shut down conversation, especially, for example, with me. I was discussing with someone and I was like, okay, and why this and this? And then they say, because it's fun. And then didn't want to elaborate any further because fun is the end all be all. I very much agree. It is the end all be all of playing games for fun. It's the end all be all of playing games as a hobby. However, if we're specifically discussing and trying to talk about this, fun shouldn't be the end of the discussion. We should explore what is fun, why that is fun for you, right? And this is not to be judgmental. I'm not saying that your fun is any less valid than mine. I just want to have a conversation about the differences between our funds in the game. And we can have that conversation. I want to have that conversation, especially with people that want to engage in that conversation with me.
Mm.
And the people that I want to engage in conversation with, obviously, as well.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly where my mind went when we started this.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been doing this type of show for quite some time now. And we always say, yeah, having fun obviously is the goal and blah, 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 blah. But let's not say, yeah, because it's fun. Let's dive a bit deeper and let's dissect it a bit more. And since we are doing this or have been doing this for quite some time now, my mind always goes to exactly that place already. If we're saying, okay, what is the most important part about TTRPGs? We both know it is fun, but it is, okay, let's dissect it a bit. What aspect of fun could be the most most important thing and all of that. I think that that's exactly where my mind went at first. But
yeah,
knowing that now, obviously it is having fun. And I think that that's that will be the answer for nearly 100% of the people.
Yeah.
In whatever kind of interpretation of their own fun that is, but the core idea behind every answer you get to that question would be having fun.
Yeah, right. But that is when we are generalizing every answer to this, to having fun.
Yeah.
Because I think there's something else a lot of people would say about TTRPGs and the way they are mostly enjoyed. And that is, I'm not finding a good way to often to phrase it to really be as broad as possible, but having fun with friends.
Yeah.
Or having fun with, like, the thing is, I am thinking about the building blocks of my answer, which would be creativity, community, and collaboration, or creativity and community basically accumulate to collaboration to have fun.
Yeah.
But that would basically rule out any solo journaling TTRPGs, which, as per doing a show that focuses on the, the fun parts about journaling and duo TTRPGs, for example, especially, that is kind of also not a good answer.
But you can interpret things, having your journal as your collaborative partner in the storytelling. You could interpret it in that way to make that answer still work.
Yeah, but I'm still not satisfied.
I know that, but I'm giving you an out, man. I'm giving you an
out. Yeah, but I don't want the out. I want to find a better answer. That's why the episode exists here, right? I want to find a better answer. Even though I know what the answer boils down to, because for a lot of people, TTRPGs are about having fun with friends, telling a collaborative story in a certain medium genre that you chose before, using a certain game that you chose before in a guided experience.
Yeah.
Now, I could make this sentence and this answer longer and longer and longer, adding more and more of the building blocks of TTRPGs, and that is exactly what we're here to talk about today. Those building blocks of TTRPGs. So what every TTRPG has, and that is what every TTRPG has, also the solo and journaling games, is guidelines or rules, depending on how the game phrases it. But it has a structure. It has a framework for you to play it. And since every game has that, and some games don't have that creative collaborative object, and since some games do not have that collaboration part of it, wouldn't be the framework of the game be more important because it is broader applying to the whole medium?
Yeah, but no.
But yes, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. It is applicable to more types of TTRPGs, but I still think the collaborative fun is a better fit anyway. And that's the thing. I mean, I am a person that loves rules.
Okay.
It's a weird thing to say, but especially in games and all of that, I like reading the rules and finding out about all of that, blah, 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 blah,
Niels,
blah, blah.
Your autism is shining through.
Hi there. You should see how I load my dishwasher. It's a sight to behold, let me tell you that.
Okay.
I get mad when the forks are next to the other forks, okay?
Doesn't everyone get mad at that?
No. Okay. They don't. It's not fun when someone else does that. No, anyways. But although I like reading rules and trying to follow them, bending and breaking the rules can be as much fun as well.
Yeah.
In certain circumstances.
So would you say that the framework of play, the rules, the guidelines, the rule book that you have in front of you for a game that you're playing is the least important part, since you can do with it whatever you want? You can obey it or disobey it at your free mind's will?
It's kind of, I think the rules or the framework are a good thing to have. A very important thing to have.
Yeah, but only if they're obeyed, or not necessarily obeyed, but if they are paid attention to, right?
And the point that I was going to make is, you know, in Pirates of the Caribbean, the pirate code, that's, I think, the role, quote unquote, the framework plays.
Yeah.
They are guidelines.
Yeah.
Not rules to be followed to every single word, but to be viewed as guidelines to help guide you to find the fun that you all look for. Being it in a solo TTRPG, in a solo journaling TTRPG, in a duo play, in a group of three to fucking however many people you want to invite. It's a guideline to help you get where you want to be.
100%. The thing is, after having been part of online TTRPG discourse brain rot for 3-4 years at this point, I've seen that GIF used so many fucking times of the rules are more guidelines, really. Not rules. They're guidelines, right? Exactly from the Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Yeah.
I don't want to say I'm mad at it for existing, because I think that a lot of online discourse or a lot of people have kind of made the word guidelines a little bit too soft.
Mm.
Is the best way to say it. The thing is, I don't want you to follow the rules always to a T. No, I want you to have the most fun you can have at your table. And if that means, especially in certain moments, saying, okay, yeah, the rules say this, but we are going to do it another way, that's fine. But generally, I want to have a baseline to work with, and that works best if we play by the rules. If we try to play the game as it wants to be played, I think that is very important. If you play the game and use the rules to your advantage to play the game, the rules should be helping you to play the game the way you want to play it. And if they get in the way of that, that is a problem, sure, and you can fix that problem however you want. In the moment of play, the best course of action is to omit the rule that is getting in the way of play. But then again, you could maybe also ask yourself more generally, why does the rule block us? And then maybe thinking about, okay, maybe not just the rule is blocking us, but the exact way the game wants to be played. If I want to play an entire regal intrigue game in a fantasy world, I am not gonna use D&D. That is a combat game. This is a dungeon looting game. D&D is the most FPS TTRPG I can think of.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't want to play a cozy game using D&D's rule set, because I cannot play a cozy game using a shooter engine, more or less. Or no one in the gaming space would necessarily do that in their right mind. Sure, some people might do it. I mean, Payday 2 was built on a fucking car racing engine. And then the car racing in the game is incredibly shit. But anyways, no. Generally, you would search for a system that best supports your play. And if you want to play a fantasy regal intrigue court game, then play Court of Blades. It's a game that's specifically designed for that. Now, I'm not saying that you have to always pick a new different game. You can obviously stick to what you know, but you can't say that the game is the least important part about playing, which you kind of do if you say the rules are more like guidelines, really.
Yeah.
Because you clearly omit the fact that the game is supposed to guide your experience to the point where you want to be.
That's the thing where I said it is and it isn't the least important or the most important thing.
So let me ask you, what is the least important part?
Dick.
We can take that answer.
You are a dick.
We can take that answer.
That's the thing, especially with the way TTRPGs as a medium work, there isn't any least important thing, at least for me.
Yeah.
That would be my take, because every part, every single thing, except the umbrella term fun, because that's the goal and that's the most important thing that we try to achieve, just letting that out there. But every single aspect of of every TTRPG is more or less on the same level of importance, obviously depending on how you want to get your fun. Ta-da, there we have the link. But if you just look at it from an objective angle, every building block of TTRPGs as a medium has the exact same importance to a degree. And then depending on what type of framework you choose or what type of fun you have or how you want to achieve your fun, you balance out every single aspect to fit the way that you want to have fun, that you want to achieve fun. And that is entirely depending on every single aspect, on how intense you want each aspect to be.
That is fun to think about, or that is interesting to think about, because any building block that you can think of for TTRPGs, I think that I could argue that I can take any building block that anyone names me that comes with TTRPGs, except for fun, because that is the goal, and you cannot take out the goal, because when you take out the goal, there's no reason to play.
Exactly.
So we need to have the goal. But I can argue that any building block that you take, any, give me one.
Combat.
Okay, sure. I 100% believe that I can have fun playing TTRPGs without combat.
Yeah, most definitely.
I argue and I have a proof. Wonder Home as a system doesn't have a combat. It doesn't even have dice rolls. It has tokens that you use to overcome challenges.
Exactly.
Not even to overcome challenges. You use those tokens to help another person. You use those tokens only when someone else does something and you say, I want to help. That is when you use those tokens. There's no combat. There's no killing. There's no bloodshed. There is no fighting. I don't need combat.
Exactly.
That is why TTRPGs are such an interesting medium to talk about. And at the same time, also sometimes very frustrating to talk about, because a lot of people mm-hmm. want a lot of different things from it.
Yay.
And especially as the medium grows, which is a good thing, by the way, before any grognard comes here telling me, oh, the new generation is making the medium worse. No, they're playing the medium in a different way than you. Shut up, go back to your tables. You won't lose those tables. The things you made, the things you've played, the systems you've bought, they don't go away. Something might not be made for you, and that's okay. So the only thing I can do is say I will never engage with it. And I think that you can, and I can use any building block and say I can have fun without any. Take out the game. Take out the rule book. Take out the game you're playing. Yeah, okay, sure. We're kind of now edging at the case where this wouldn't necessarily be called playing a TTRPG anymore. Yeah, but it's still just a fun improv group around my tables, and I'm still having fun. If that is the main goal of my evening, my sessions, I don't need a TTRPG system for it.
Exactly.
I don't need a friend group for it. I can play a solo journaling game and have fun with that. I don't need a table for that. My friends are spread all across the country or the globe even, and I can still play with them. I don't need a table. I don't need them to be physically there. I don't need dice, theoretically. There are enough games out there that don't need dice.
Yeah, and that's the thing. For every building block, you can find arguments why it is the most or the least important thing, depending on what you want to do, how you want to achieve your fun. That's the thing. Especially, I think one thing that you just mentioned, taking away the game itself, more or less the rules. I had a session or multiple sessions where we just sat down. I described the scene that has nothing to do how the system works, how the game works, what dice are rolled or if dice are rolled.
It's and just a setting scene.
Exactly. I just tell my players what they see that has nothing to do with any kind of system. They just sat down and talked in character for 4 hours without wanting or needing to make any checks whatsoever. Was the game that or the system that we chose important to that session? Hell no. It was completely irrelevant.
Yeah.
It could have been a D&D. It could have been Wonder Home. It could have been Starfinder, whatever the fuck, right? But the goal was achieved. We sat down, we had fun, and enjoyed our evening. So we don't need the system. So it can't be the most important thing after fun.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, sometimes you want to have that crunchy feeling, and then it becomes the most important thing in the to achieve your fun. It entirely depends on your own way that you want to craft.
The game especially becomes the most important part if you want to engage in play of it.
Exactly.
It is all about what do you want to do? Do you want to play this game that we have in front of us? Do you want to do something else? It is all highly dependent on the table you're playing at, if you're even at a table. It depends on you as a person, on everyone around you that is playing with you in this experience. The one thing that you will always need is trust among each other.
Yeah.
If you don't have trust, the game experience isn't going to be good. It is not going to be perfect. I'm not just talking about trust among the players and the GM to each other. That is important, 100%, and I don't want to debate it. Because we've done so a lot of times. We've talked about safety tools. Important, period. But the same goes for trusting the game, trusting the story, trusting the plot, trusting the NPCs of it, engaging
trusting yourself
with something. And coming back to what you said, right? The one important thing about TTRPGs is engaging with them, is engaging with what's in front of you, not what's ahead of you, not what's behind you, not what's not there. Engaging with something that is there. And engaging with the system that you're currently playing, engaging with the people that you're playing with, engaging with the GM, engaging with the world you're playing in, engaging with the plot you're in. That is important. But it only works if those other things exist, right? And therefore you need those other things to play. The one thing that is really important is the willingness to play. And it comes back to wanting to have fun.
Exactly. But you just mentioned an interesting point there, I think. The longer we talk about this, the more I realize the most important things about TTRPGs aren't defined by the TTRPG. It is the group of people, be it yourself or however many people you want to play, wanting to achieve. The more we talk about it, the more abstract the most important thing becomes. And that's just the beauty of TTRPGs, but also the shit show that is TTRPGs. Because, let's define an abstract thingamajig that you have to kind of view from a subjective standpoint, but also from an objective standpoint, to make it work in a discussion and at the same time be biased as shit because you have your own opinion on how you have your own fun at your own tables, but don't want to impose that bias on everything you say.
I think we deserve an award for just talking about this because no one else wants to, and we're the ones doing it, and we should be getting a medal of honor for this shit.
Yeah, you're welcome, by the way, world.
One very important thing that you just brought up is, right, the game is about you. And that isn't saying that you should be egotistical at a table and be the center of attention all the time.
The group should.
When you're playing at a table, the game is still about you. Playing is still about you. Are you having fun? Are you enjoying this? What do you want to do? What is it you do next? What ideas do you have? Where does your creativity take you? It all has one constant, and that is you. Dear listener, no matter where you are, no matter who you are, TTRPGs can be for you if you make them into what you want them to be.
Exactly.
And that is now to go into another direction. This entire thing that the conclusion we just came to. TTRPGs are highly individualistic, depend entirely on the people playing in that moment. That is the center of it all. It's not necessarily the only important thing, because that is entirely besides the point. It misses the point entirely to say that something is more important than the other parts. You need all the parts to play. You are just allowed to decide how you weigh them, how you use them, and how you apply them in any way. I'm urging you to, however, engage with every single part with good faith and doing it. But at the same time, because TTRPG is so highly individualistic and basically don't have defined strains of thought, let's say that, TTRPGs feel like the Wild West of mediums.
Yeah.
No? Right? Like every other entertainment medium I think of feels like it has so much more structure to it.
Yeah. And the thing about that is, that's exactly correct, because you can do whatever you want. It's the most free creative medium that a group of people can have, or a single person can have, because you are the one that decides everything. Everyone at the table is the one that decides everything.
It, however, makes TTRPGs also sometimes a nightmare to think about.
Exactly.
Or to talk about, and especially discuss about, because this conversation is easily shut down by, but this is the way I do it. And the only thing I can respond with is, yes,
good
that's
for you.
Cool. I would do it differently. And the only way you can respond to that is, yeah, cool. And if we're both cool with it, we can try out each other's playstyles and then say, okay, but I don't like that. And then we can still engage in a conversation. It's not saying that we cannot engage in conversation, but analyzing, talking, discussing about TTRPGs, it is hard. And I'm not saying this right because, oh, woe is me. I've done so many episodes about I must be so fucking smart. I'm a fucking idiot sometimes. I'm sure that if I would go through the 155, 156 episodes that we did on DM, I could basically take 10 of them and throw them out and say, I think those episodes are shit with what I said in them. 100% I could do that. But still, TTRPGs are very, very hard to talk about because how do you classify a TTRPG even? I often hear, right, fast-paced cinematic game. What does that even fucking mean?
Does it need to be fast-paced or cinematic, though? I don't think so. Look at journaling TTRPGs. They aren't necessarily fast-paced or cinematic. Look at Wonder Home, that isn't necessarily fast-paced or cinematic.
But some games advertise themselves as fast-paced cinematic games.
Yeah.
That in itself isn't necessarily bad. But what does that mean in context of TTRPGs? Because my definition of fast-paced cinematic shit could be very different from yours.
Exactly.
There is no defined definition in the terms of TTRPGs for most of these keywords.
Exactly. To open that box of Pandora, is pacing depends on everyone at the table. I have had multiple groups or multiple campaigns started or whatever with the same people, but different GMs or different characters, or someone wanted to change the character or this or that or whatever. Every campaign that I played in had a different pacing every time, although it was the same system. So is the system relevant for the pacing? Is it the people that play? Is it the characters that they choose, that they made? Is it the story that you follow? Is it the story that you create? Is it the interaction? Is it everything? Is it nothing? Because you can make your own shit out of everything. And that's the beauty of us calling every single thing a building block because you can build your own fucking thing with everything on the tool chest.
And I'm gonna say it, making your own TTRPG, it is hard. I'm not saying that it's easy.
It most certainly isn't.
But it is possible. It is something that you can do. Making your own movie has way higher barrier of entry, in my opinion. Making your own video games has a way higher barrier of entry. I've tried to make both. I'm never gonna talk about the attempts or what came of them. Fuck that, no. But I've also made my own TTRPG. That is out there on itch. I've made a second one. That is out nowhere because I think it's shit. And I've only played it 2 times with my friends' groups and then never again because it doesn't need to be played anymore because it is just this, basically it's just a D20 hack of something that doesn't need to exist. But I am making another game. I'm making Aegon, right? The system has as an underlying SRD, the Paragon SRD. And I'm making something with that.
Nice.
That I maybe want to put out. Maybe just want to play with my friends. I don't know if I'm going to be able to put it out because it is attached to a very big IP that I do not have the rights to in any way. So I'm not able to probably make money off of it.
Yeah, but
then again, it is possible to make your own TTRPG. And I think the thing is, one of the big lessons that I've learned in that making of TTRPGs, that I've learned from Alex from Titanomachy RPG, the maker of Caltrops Core, one of the most simple SRDs and game engines to make TTRPGs with, what they said to me really stuck with me. It doesn't fucking matter if your first game is good. It just matters that you made it. And Caltrops Core made that possible for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Other game engines make that possible for a lot of people. And I think TTRPGs as a medium allow you to be a creator too. And make it very easy to make your own creations because they are so highly individualistic. That is the big, big upside of it. TTRPGs being so highly individualistic is a good thing, even though it makes analyzing and talking about them sometimes a very fucking hassle that makes this show harder and harder. Excuse me, sorry.
Sometimes a very fucking hassle. It's a fucking nightmare sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially the more you analyze, it becomes a nightmare.
Yeah.
But I enjoy that night. It's a personal love-hate relationship with analyzing TTRPGs. I love it, but man, no.
It is just what it is. The individualistic thing about TTRPGs is a good thing because it gives, it has as a medium a very low barrier of entry. And D&D's popularity has something to do with that. D&D is a popular system. If someone's first system is D&D, that is not a bad thing, even if they might have profited from a different system in a different way, maybe better, maybe worse, we don't know, but they're playing. Now they can go out and enjoy the medium in the way they want to, and them playing the medium in the way they want to does in fact not take anything away from you.
Just adds on to it.
It might not even just be adding to what you do it to enjoy it. Maybe you are living in a completely different sphere than them. But that is okay. You're still both enjoying the same medium. It's maybe impossible for you guys to really connect and discuss the medium because you have two very different sides of the same medium and can't just discuss it. But you can both agree on both of you are having fun while playing.
Exactly. And one thing that you all, as soon as you start enjoying and playing TTRPGs, one thing that you always will add to TTRPGs is popularity and your own fun. Because that, no matter if I know every person or any person that plays TTRPGs, as long as I do it, I add to that pile of TTRPG happiness that is out there in the world.
Yeah.
And if you start playing TTRPGs, I don't know you, but you will add to that pile of happiness as well, just because you enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And the more people add to that pile, the more people will notice it and blah, 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 blah. Hey, popularity and shit.
And that's why I think the D&D movie was a good thing.
Hmm.
Because even though it is not a D&D, the movie has nothing to do with D&D. It's about the Forgotten Realms. Planting D&D on the side of it obviously makes it pay more. So fucking be it, I don't care. But it helped. And I know it helped because when I go to Kendo every Wednesday, there's a person. He does Kendo 6 times a week or 5 times a week. He's a professional chef in a very high-class environment. And do you know what? Through that movie, he said he wanted to play TTRPGs for the first time. Sure, he wanted to play D&D and very much classic D&D, but he wanted to play. And he played. And he found a group to play with. And that's a good thing.
Awesome.
Even though he might only be playing D&D. Yeah, sure. But we don't necessarily need to hate on that because he only plays like once a month or once every 2 months because he doesn't have time for more than that. And again, if he wants to play a different system, I am sure he's open to it.
Exactly. And whatever gets you the fun that you want, I don't care what system you play or if you play only one system. I just can say for myself, it isn't the thing that I want to just play one system and one system forever without trying anything else. But if that's for you, if you have found your favorite system that you will play, period, nothing else, and you enjoy that with your group, that's totally fine. Who are we to dictate what you should do or shouldn't do, what you should enjoy and what you shouldn't enjoy? Because it's so individual. Every play experience is different. And yeah, I can assure you the games that I've the D&D games, for example, that I played with Emil have a completely different vibe than the D&D games that I play with my regular group. That doesn't mean that any one type of play is better or worse than the other. It's just different. I enjoyed both. I couldn't tell you which I enjoyed more or less because it's just different. Mm-hmm. It's different for everybody and a different level of enjoyment for everybody. And that's fine. That's good, because that's individualism. Everyone is their own person and should make their own decisions on what they like, what they don't like, and create their own thing to make it their own. And that's one thing that I want to add to all of that as well, is we said, you can make your own TTRPG in regards to most likely to making your own system or using Caltrop Core to make your own game. But even if you use a pre-existing system, game, like Dungeons and Dragons, Shadowrun, or whatever, as long as you play, you will make your own TTRPG out of it, in a way, because you add your own little things
to it. You will make your own experience.
Exactly.
You will make your own story, your own characters, your own imagination. You will let it run freely. You will create something beautiful. And again, that is the beauty and the nature of TTRPGs. They are a creative medium allowing everyone that is partaking in it to create something that they enjoy. That also means that everyone creates differently. It highlights the fact that everyone creates differently, because everyone does, regardless of TTRPG's existence or not. If TTRPGs wouldn't exist and it would be very easy to, I don't know, write video games, to code video games, TTRPGs are just able to bring that out in someone. And that is the beauty of it. And that is the importance of it. And you only get that with all the building blocks, other people to play with, a system to play, a character you create to portray, a world where you can set your character adventures in, a plotline that leads you along a path to do your own things. All of those things, they work together to give you that. And with that, Niels, what is the most important part about playing TTRPGs?
Making it your own, having fun, and enjoying the time that you have with it.
Yeah, 100% that. And again, that answer is broad, but it has to be. Because I could say the other players. Yeah, the plotline. Yeah, the world the GM built. Yeah, the system. But that would disregard a lot of different other ways to play. And while that is fine to say for yourself, which is your opinion, which matters in every discourse that you're part of, your opinion matters. But again, we have to realize that other people will have different opinions. We will realize that other people have something else, and we will have to realize that we can agree to disagree on stuff like this. There are things that we, again, aren't able to agree to disagree on, mainly being human rights, that everyone is deserving of the same rights as everyone else. If that is really what you want to debate, do it somewhere else and not with me, because I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
It doesn't belong in TTRPG spaces. This is a creative medium.
It doesn't belong anywhere.
It is an escapist medium.
It just doesn't belong anywhere. Yeah.
An escapist medium means that people are able to play the way they want to. And if you are out here criticizing other people for the way they play, play your game yourself. If you're the type of person to go to Twitter and say, all these wokies, they're playing, I don't know, whatever, there are no black elves or something like that, for example. Go fuck yourself. Why do you have to go out into the internet and sully other people's fun? If you really have a problem with black elves, keep that to yourself.
Yeah, and with that, keep it... wait. And with that, make TTRPGs your own. Have fun the way you want to have fun. And just enjoy the medium as it is.
And if we really have to make a discussion about it, let's do it in good faith.
Exactly.
And have fun with each other. other while we're discussing it?
That's with every Double DM episode. Whatever topic we talk about, we always assume good faith, because if we don't, then the whole discussion gets thrown out of the window. So play TTRPGs in good faith, have fun, make it your own. And with that, thank you all for listening. See you on the next one, and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Double DM. It appears you liked this one, what we had to say, and our advice helped you. Why not show us how we helped you in a rating, or even write a review detailing us how we helped? You can do this on the platform that you are listening on right now. It's just a few clicks, doesn't take long, and helps us out. It gets us out there and our advice into more ears of more people. Thanks again for listening and joining us on this amazing journey. Have a great day, and see you on the next one. Bye-bye.